Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Clear My Skin podcast. This podcast is dedicated to research, practices, and experiences that aim to help clear one's skin of skin conditions, such as acne, but in a more natural way. I share loads of nutrition facts, findings about cosmetics and procedures, and in general, different themes that will help you clear your skin in a natural way. Before we move forward, an important disclaimer I have to make is that I'm not a doctor of any sort, and I'm not a nutritionist, and I'm not a beautician. I'm just someone who's been struggling with acne for more than 10 years without any success of curing it with traditional methods. This episode is dedicated to what you can eat on a low glycemic diet to help with your acne. If you're not familiar with the low glycemic diet, I highly recommend you research it a little bit because it's been proven to be very positive for acne. And while I have a whole separate episode on this, actually on the same podcast, diving deep into what a low glycemic diet is and how it can positively influence your acne and how you can follow it, make sure to search for this episode on the podcast if you want to dig more deep into it. First, on this episode, I will actually give a quick summary of what a low GI diet is. Then I'm going to move into foods to avoid on a low glycemic diet. And then I will actually talk a little bit about foods to embrace on a low GI diet. And last but definitely not least, some general tips to help you with the low GI lifestyle. So now let's get into it. So first things first, I want to give you a quick summary of what a low glycemic diet is. So in a very short summary, a low glycemic diet is basically eating foods that don't spike your blood sugar, because the relation to acne in food has been found to be somewhat significant. Whenever you eat foods that spike your blood sugar, then your body is more prone to producing more sebum. And of course, as a consequence, you might have worsening acne, or even it could to a big extent cause extra unnecessary acne. So that's why researchers have found years ago that a low glycemic diet, so a diet that focuses on healthy foods and also specifically carbs that are somewhat slower to digest by the body, can be very beneficial for people dealing with any sort of insulin resistance, which is also in some cases related to acne, as well as diabetes, for example. The low glycemic diet has two very important components. The first one is the glycemic index, and the second one is the glycemic load. What a glycemic index is basically number from 0 to 100, a scale from 0 to 100 that shows you how low or high food is on there and how much it will spike your blood sugar. So the lower on the glycemic index is basically better. The higher, you get the gist of it. So you need to also keep in mind that when we talk about the glycemic index, technically every type of food has an assigned number on the glycemic index, but of course this is all relative, as it also depends on the quantity of how much you eat of something, as well as the condition it's in. So is it cooked? How is it cooked? Or is it raw? We're going to get into this a little bit later on. But when we talk about quantity, this is where it also is important to mention the glycemic load. So how much your sugar spikes after a certain meal is also heavily dependent not only on the foods that you eat and how they score on the glycemic index, but also how much of that you eat. So for example, if you are eaten quite a bit throughout the day, and then you eat, for example, a really, really big meal on, for example, you eat a really, really big meal at dinner, that is most probably going to spike your sugar more, even if it's consisting of foods that are somewhat low or mid-range on the glycemic index, because basically that quantity is going to get the body to overwork itself in a way to digest everything. And because it also takes time, you know, you can actually overwork the body in a way. So the glycemic load and the glycemic index are the two most important factors that you need to keep in mind when you think of a low glycemic diet. And it's so important to just think of both of them when you're making meals, because it's not just important to think, oh, I'm just going to eat some foods that are low on the glycemic index. It's also some other factors tie into it as well, like the glycemic load, for example. I think a good rule of thumb here is that if you are wondering what to eat and which foods are good for you on a low glycemic diet and which not so much, just think of it this way. If it's generally considered not a healthy food, it's probably not great for the low glycemic diet. Again, you are just looking for different types of foods that will be processed in the body a little bit slower than normal, and hence why your blood sugar is not going to spike so rapidly. A good rule of thumb here is to actually keep in mind the following. If you don't know the relative score of a food on the glycemic index and can't access Google to check it out, you can think of it this way. So the glycemic index of a food tends to be lower if, first of all, it is less processed. So the more processed a food is, think burgers, fat, any type of fast food, any type of half frozen, frozen, half ready to go foods, like that is going to be terrible for the glycemic index. Whole grains are often lower GI than refined foods. Whole fruit is also lower GI than fruit juice, and raw carrots are lower GI than cooked. That's also something to remember because the raw condition of a food, such as any type of vegetable, for example, is going to be, or fruit for that matter, is going to be lower on the glycemic index than its cooked counterpart. Another second rule to think of here is that if it's higher in fiber, protein, and/or fat, and lower in sugar and refined starch, then you are definitely making a good choice for the low glycemic diet. Now we circle back to to the raw thing, which is number three. So if your food is raw, in terms of specifically talking about vegetables and fruits, for example, raw carrots are lower GI than cooked, and al dente pasta is lower GI than well cooked. So even when it comes to things like pasta, if you cook it to its al dente version, it's going to be much better for you than if you overcook it. And fourth, we talk about ripeness. So when you think of fruits, for example, it also matters how ripe a fruit is. So a soft ripe banana has a higher GI than a firmer, less ripe one. So good to keep that in mind. So think of it this way. If you get a banana that's been sitting around your kitchen for a few days and now it's starting to get a little bit brownish, it will spike your blood sugar more than a banana that is not nearly so ripe. And another thing to keep in mind when we talk about the different factors, of the low glycemic diet and just different rules of thumb that you can follow when you're in doubt. Just keep in mind to beware of foods that can be low in GI but also low in nutritional value. So, for example, ice cream is a good example of that. You can get almost no carb ice cream, the ones that claim no carbs, no lactose, no this, no that, which is, from a marketing standpoint, it really paints such a great picture, and you're thinking, oh my God, like I love ice cream. I never wanted to cut ice cream, so now I can buy a tub of ice cream and I can eat a tub of ice cream every weekend. That's not really the case because even if they are, even if the ice cream that you've chosen is low on the GI scale, it's most probably low in nutritional value and it's also probably stuffed with bad chemicals inside. Different types of ingredients they used to make it delicious, but substitute things such as butter or milk or sugar. So beware of that as well. Because the whole idea of actually going on a low glycemic diet is to keep your blood sugar low, but also do it in the healthy way. So there's no point in cheating in any case because at the end of the day, it's all about your body. So you should be focusing on putting in really good carbs and healthy proteins and fats in you rather than just thinking about the glycemic index, for example. Okay, now we move on to the second point, which is foods to avoid on a low glycemic diet. I wanted to start with this instead of jumping directly into foods that you can actually seek out on a low glycemic diet, because if we first check off the things that we shouldn't eat, suddenly the diet becomes, a lot more clear. And on the other hand, I think that actually, if you even begin with just avoiding certain groups of foods and certain types of foods, you can kind of really easily get into the low glycemic diet. So you don't have to get yourself crazy with things such as, oh my God, how low or how high is this on the low glycemic index, on the glycemic index? Because in the beginning, when I started doing a glycemic diet, I was going a little bit crazy with it and a little bit to the extreme where I wouldn't eat anything that was below 50 on the glycemic index. Oh yeah, this is actually a good addition here that I forgot to mention in the first point, which is the glycemic index, as I mentioned, is a scoring system from 0 to 100. So a food that's between 0 and 60 is relatively good because 50 to 70 kind of is mid-ranged for the glycemic index. Shall we even say 60 to 70? That's mid-range. And anything above 70 on that index is really, really not glycemic friendly, let's put it that way. However, there are certain pluses and minuses there. There are certain ways that you can go about eating healthy foods that are higher on the glycemic index, but I'm going to get to that in the next point. So for now, I want to focus on foods to avoid on a low glycemic diet, because if you manage to first start with the foods to avoid, which I think is easier rather than completely shifting to a low glycemic diet and switching like completely cold turkey, you'll be able to have probably more success with this. So that's why I think it's important to first cover that. So I collected a little list that I've taken from healthline.com. It's a very American list, however, I think it's a good summary, but I'm going to try to make it as international as possible here. So the first type of food that you can avoid on a low glycemic diet is bread. There is no surprise there. I think that in general, eating too much bread is not a great idea for any type of reason. And when we talk bread, we specifically mean white bread, bagels, naan, Turkish bread, French baguettes, Lebanese bread. However, as I will go into this a little bit later, sourdough bread can actually be a very good replacement for this. So keep that in mind. Next in the line are breakfast cereals. So that's anything from like instant oats, Rice Krispies, Cocoa Krispies, Corn Flakes, Fruit Loops, Nesquik, whatever type of sugary, corn flake type of breakfast cereal you have, it's best to forget about it. I mentioned instant oats. They're very different from oatmeal in general. Like steel cut oatmeal, it can actually be so great for you. And even though they're high in carbohydrates, they are slower to digest by the body. They have so many different health benefits, and they have been linked on multiple occasions to improving acne, not only topically, but also orally. So basically, when you eat oats. So I would definitely recommend them as a replacement to something like instant oats. So steel cut oats. The next group of foods that you should be aware of and you should try to avoid on a low glycemic diet is starchy vegetables. Red Pontiac potato varieties, instant mashed potatoes, that kind of stuff. So, starchy vegetables, we do not pick them up at the supermarket anymore. Then we move on to pasta and noodles. So, corn pasta and instant noodles, definitely a no-no. And when we talk about pasta, actually, something like whole wheat pasta cooked to its al dente form, is totally okay on a glycemic diet. Then we move on to the next group, which is rice. So here we have some versions of rice, which are like jasmine, arborio, Calrose, medium grain white. In general, rice should be somewhat avoided on a low glycemic diet. That's not to say you should never eat it, but if you can introduce less of it in your diet, that's better. And another replacement, good replacement for rice is brown rice because it has a lot less carbs. Then we move on to dairy replacements. So, for example, rice milk and interestingly enough, oat milk could be quite non-glycemic diet friendly. I think the verdict for me is still a little bit out on oat milk because I love oat milk. I do understand where the logic is behind that. However, that's up for you to research and decide for yourself. Another group is fruits with a lot of sugar, and a good example here is watermelon. I think that also bananas have a lot of sugar in them, but I love bananas and watermelon, and it's not like I would cut them out of my diet. It's just that I would try to like not eat 10 bananas a day or munch on watermelon every single day, which is not the case anyways, so I think it's just good to be aware of that. Then we move on to snacking. In general, snacking on a glycemic diet is not that recommended. And when you are snacking on a low glycemic diet, the experts suggest that we eat some smaller quantities of really good snacks, like whether that's low-fat yogurt or almonds, which can be a great snack as well, or even just a boiled egg. However, when it comes to savory snacks, you should avoid things like rice crackers, corn chips, rice cakes, pretzels, all that kind of stuff. The other thing to be aware of is cakes and other sweets, which is kind of, I think, self-explanatory. You know, you have scones, donuts, cupcakes, cookies, waffles, cakes, tarts, whatever it is. Jelly beans, licorice. You can kind of derive for yourself so far as a conclusion is that if you think about it, all the things that you should avoid are foods that are generally considered not to be great for one's health. So, in my opinion, I found the low glycemic diet not to be a restraining diet, but just a healthier way of eating. And I think that if your mindset is similar to this, it's going to be much easier to switch to a low glycemic diet. And before I move to the next point, I just wanted to say a few things in addition. So, for example, a good general rule of thumb is avoid processed foods. Anything from frozen, ready-to-go foods like frozen pizza and frozen mozzarella sticks or whatever, to burgers and all its relatives, like actual warm pizza, are not great for someone who's trying to follow a low glycemic diet. Another no-go is definitely sugary drinks. I think that one is one of the easiest ones to cut out because you can easily replace it with things like tea or water. Because, you know, sugary drinks, what they say is very true. Like you drink your weight in calories, but even if we forget about calories and weight in that regard, it's more the fact that in a lot of these sugary drinks, there's just so many like terrible chemicals inside that are only going to hurt your health anyway. So think about cola, Sprite, all that. All these type of fizzy drinks. And actually another one to be very aware of is orange juice, even if it's freshly squeezed orange juice, because with that one, definitely don't cut it out completely from your diet. Just drink it in moderation because orange juice can be quite high in sugar. And that, of course, is not necessarily great for someone who's trying to not get their blood sugar levels spiked. So beware. Again, very straightforward. Chocolatey, sugary desserts, we already kind of covered that. I think that what you can actually do is replace this with high in cocoa percentage chocolate. But of course, always check the ingredients. There's a lot of chocolates out there who say, oh, we are 78%, 85%, 93% cocoa only. And then you turn around and you look at the ingredients list and you see it's cocoa powder, and, oh, well, cocoa powder is cocoa. And they say, and we also have some sort of sugar, added sugar. And that's not really great. Another tricky one in this group is sauces. Because when you go to a restaurant or you go to, you know, any type of supermarket and you want to buy salad or you order a pasta at a restaurant, they come with a lot of sauces normally and dressings and all that. And this is a dangerous ground because in general, they're loaded with a lot of crap ingredients. And at the same time, they're normally very high in sugar because they're trying to make the actual meal more delicious to the person that ordered it or bought it. And last but not least, actually, honey is a very tricky zone because even though it's super healthy, and I definitely believe you should not cut out honey from your diet, like especially good organic honey that you know is quality honey, I think that should never be cut from someone's diet. However, it's also very high in specific sugars that will definitely get your sugars up and running. And that's not necessarily what you want. I've heard of a good combination between honey, water, and vinegar. And that kind of balances things out on the glycemic index. And I'm gonna go into depth about this little trick that you can use a little bit later on this episode. Okay, so now we're gonna cover some foods to embrace on a low GI diet. So just keep in mind that even on the list I'm about to go through, there are a lot of different foods, especially when it comes to veggies. The raw glycemic index value of a food is typically lower than its boiled baked version. So that's something to always keep in mind. With, for example, with potatoes, I love frickin' potatoes, and a boiled potato has a very high glycemic index value, I think above 70. But also, there's an interesting contradiction that with French fries, for example, they don't like French fries actually have a lower value and they're lower on the glycemic index. That, of course, is super odd, but it's the way it is. So that's why I think it's also important to do your research about the food that you're eating, its glycemic index, but also how it's actually prepared, because that impacts the glycemic index. So now I'm going to open up a little list I found online, and with some of my additions, I've edited it, and then I will go through some of the major food groups that you can. And now I'm going to go through some of the major food groups and what types of foods you can eat in each one of them that are glycemic friendly, glycemic diet friendly. So let's get into it. Yeah, so first we have low glycemic fruits. The first one is apples. Ooh, definitely, apples are great. You can never really go wrong with apples. I think the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, definitely has merit and is there and is so popular for a reason. Then we move on to dried apricots, underripe banana, peaches, strawberries, oranges, cherries. Definitely more sugar in those four. So keep that in mind. If you can go and if you can opt in for apples or berries, cranberries, for example, that's a much better choice. Berries and cranberries, sorry, blueberries and apples have been found to be some of the best fruit out there for people who are wanting to stick to a low glycemic diet, so keep that in mind. And then you can also opt in for pears or plums. Grapefruit is a great one as well. If we're talking about low glycemic vegetables, you can look into carrots, green peas, onions, lettuce, greens, any types of greens, spinach, kale, collards, beet. The greener, the darker green, the better. Then we have green beans, tomatoes, cucumbers, bok choy, mushrooms, artichokes, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, celery, eggplant, all types of peppers, really, zucchini, squash, and snow peas. And then we go to the grains, so to the low glycemic grains. So when it comes to a low glycemic diet, grains are a big part of it. And also when it comes to acne, you're going to find a lot of research that certain types of grains have been found to be very beneficial with people who suffer from acne. So definitely keep that in mind. So when it comes to grains, we have barley, whole wheat, Carinols, all bran and fiber one cereals, oat bran and rice bran cereals. Again, I'm not 100% sure about that one just because, rice is a difficult one, but whole grain pasta is a great choice. Whole grain pumpernickel bread, sourdough bread, as I already mentioned, such a good option. And also, sourdough bread is great for people who are on a low glycemic diet. So keep that in mind. And then if you want to opt in for something like a tortilla, just do it with its wheat version. I think oatmeal, I've mentioned time and again. And another one I wanted to mention as well that has also been found to be very beneficial for skin is buckwheat. So don't forget about that one. Then we move on to dairy products. When it comes to dairy, I think that's a controversial topic because some people are not very okay with dairy. Especially when they have acne, and some people are lactose intolerant or a combination of both. In general, I myself try to avoid dairy as much as possible because I am pretty sure it contributes to my acne symptoms. So, be aware of that and be aware of that for yourself. However, if you're someone who doesn't have a problem with dairy, certain things you can look into on a low glycemic diet for dairy products are skim, low fat, and whole milk. You can have plain yogurt, cheese, different types of cheeses, cheddar, Swiss, mozzarella, brie, feta, blue, goat cheese. You can have cottage cheese. You can have ricotta cheese. And you can have stuff like soy milk and yogurt. But again, that is something that you need to personally assess for yourself how you're feeling about dairy. And then legumes. I love my legumes. I think that they are just so great. And they have so many health benefits, and they're just amazing as proteins. So, definitely, definitely make sure to include them on your diet. So, jumping into those, you can start with beans, you can do chickpeas, kidney beans, pinto beans, black beans, navy beans, all types of beans. Black beans, one of my favorite ones, not only because I love Mexican, but also because they are just so rich in different nutrients. Lima beans is another one. You can do split peas, black-eyed peas, lentils. Oh my God, lentils are absolutely fabulous for so many different reasons. If you can incorporate lentils, that that you like 2 to 3 times a week, that's already such a big win. They're so easy to make and they're such a good source of very important nutrients. For example, if you are someone like me who doesn't like to spend a lot of time cooking, look into red lentils because they're amazing. They're an amazing source of protein, they're an amazing source of nutrients, and they're so easy to cook and very, very delicious. Then you can also do edamame and roasted soybeans. Just keep in mind that there's a lot of soy in there, and there's been a lot of talk about whether or not people with acne should eat soy because of the estrogen-like hormone that they can introduce to your body, which is not exactly, researchers do not necessarily agree on whether or not you should eat soy. Some say that it's very good for you when you have acne. Some say that it's not a good idea. So I can't give you advice on that. Just make sure to research it for yourself. Then you have stuff like hummus, which is made of chickpeas. You can also look into tofu and soy-based meat substitutes, but that is again soy. So you have to make your own choice on that one. Then we move into another favorite category of mine, which is nuts and seeds. You can definitely go crazy on nuts and seeds. Just make sure not to overdo it with certain ones because you can start to feel very heavy very fast. Not in terms of weight, but just like as you overate, for example. But when it comes to some of these seeds, you can go crazy with peanuts. They're also great because of the omegas inside. You can do different types of nuts, walnuts, macadamias, hazelnuts, almonds, cashews. I think almonds are absolutely fabulous. Then you have peanut butter, nut butter, and some seeds. Pumpkin seeds are so good for you. So definitely look into pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, amazing, chia, flax seeds. Flax seeds have been found to be so beneficial for skin. So they have so many skin benefits and so many health benefits in general. So definitely look into flax seeds. Some last groups of food. So for example, some more, mixed foods, dark chocolate, 100% unsweetened chocolate. So the more cocoa, the higher the cocoa percentage in it, the better. Cocoa is actually a very powerful antioxidant, so you cannot go wrong with that. And I think because of its bitter taste, it's not as easy to munch on it as much as a normal, sugary filled milk chocolate is. So definitely have one by your side because it has a lot of health benefits. And if it's a clean, pure, cocoa rich dark chocolate, that's definitely something that you can incorporate generously into your diet. Then you can look at some stuff like chili with beans to diversify your recipes in your diet. You can, if you want to create sandwiches, just make sure you do them on whole grain bread with meat, tuna, cheese, if you're okay with dairy and some vegetables. You can do the same with peanut butter and whole grain bread for sandwiches. If you are a Mexican food lover like me, you can do a burrito with beans, cheese, guacamole, salsa, and lettuce on a whole wheat tortilla. Soups are just amazing in general. So you can do soups with some sort of protein and then some veggies, and it's going to be very much glycemic, diet friendly. And just don't forget about those amazing salads. And now a last group that I want to cover, which have more, that which are on the, medium to high glycemic nutritious foods. I would definitely say that they're not high on the glycemic index necessarily in the sense that they're dangerous for you, but I would say that they should be enjoyed in moderation. The first one is sweet potatoes, and I think I'm saying sweet potatoes because I personally love any type of potato. And while the normal potato has very high glycemic index value, its counterpart, which is the sweet potato, well, its cousin, the sweet potato, doesn't have as high of a glycemic index value, and it's so delicious and so nutritious. Whole grain bread is another one, butternut, acorn, and other winter squash. Oatmeal, I already mentioned. Yes, it's technically high in certain types of carbs, but it's so good for you. And brown rice is a good substitute for white rice, and melon could be a good substitute for watermelon. So those are some of the things you should keep in mind. And now when we move on to proteins and fats, like I'm not going to go very deep into the proteins and fats and what types of proteins and fats you can eat, but they're an important part of your diet. And I'm just going to go into it now in a bit. But before we move on to that, just consider that things like chicken, turkey, and other poultry, eggs and egg whites, fish and shellfish, beef, pork, and other meats, olive oil, canola oil, butter, lard, even mayonnaise, olives, avocado, they are carb-free or very low carb foods because they are either fats or they're considered fats or protein, and they are considered to be good fats and good protein. Do not forget to include those in your diet because the combination on a low glycemic diet in every meal between good carbs, good protein, and good fats is so important. And that's one of the tricks that I wanted to mention to you, that it's not only about the glycemic index value of a certain type of food in your meal and how much you eat of it, the glycemic load, but also how you pair it up in each meal. So even if you have a food that's a little bit higher on the glycemic index, like let's say a baked potato, if you mix it up with things like avocado, which is a good fat, and maybe some chicken, which is protein, then you kind of balance out the effect that this is going to have on your blood sugar. So make sure to balance out each one of your meals on a low glycemic diet as much as you can with good carbs, good fats, and good proteins. And now we move on to some general tips that will help you with a low glycemic diet lifestyle. The first one I already covered, and it's so important, is just to kind of think of each one of your meals as an opportunity to pair it up with different food nutrient groups. So, for example, if you're eating carbs, make sure you also have good proteins and good fats next to the good carbs. That is going to level things out and is going to be very, it's going to have a very different impact on your blood sugar compared to just you eating very high carb meal or a lot of a moderately high on the glycemic index meal. Another tip that could help you with the spike in your blood sugar after a meal is taking walks. So after you eat, it's been found that after a meal, it's very much recommended to take a walk, because that helps to level out the blood sugar levels in your body as well. The more fiber your diet has, the better. The more fiber your foods have, the better, because that is also very good for the low glycemic diet. And if you remember in the beginning, we already mentioned that the higher in fiber a food is, the better it probably is also on the glycemic index. So something like oatmeal is very, very high in fiber. It is a little bit higher on the glycemic index's value, but it is just good food. And in general, fiber-rich foods have been heavily recommended for people who suffer from acne next to a low glycemic diet. So if you can have a low glycemic diet paired with a fiber-rich diet, that's going to really that holds the potential for impacting your acne in a positive way. And then I need to give some more of like a disclaimer here, which is a low glycemic diet might not mean healthy. We kind of covered that already, and vice versa. So the glycemic index is only one way to assess the food, as we already discussed. So lower glycemic index often means healthier, but not always. So for example, like we already mentioned, the ice cream example. And another example is the fact that you can lower the glycemic index of a slice of bread by spreading it with butter, if you remember what we talked about, the fats, the proteins, and the carbs. But that's actually not healthy. So, eating slices of bread with butter one after the other is actually not great for you. Then another example that I gave was with the potato. So a boiled potato has a high glycemic index value. And weirdly, French fries are actually lower on the glycemic index. But fries are not really healthy for you. So it's better to eat, even like if you love potatoes as much as I do, it's better to eat boiled potatoes once or twice or even three times a week than have fries three times a week. Oatmeal and pumpkin are high glycemic index value foods. However, they're so rich in healthy antioxidants and fiber so that they're really, really good for you and you shouldn't cut them out of your diet, something that I already kind of mentioned. So my point is just make sure to do your research and really be mindful of what you eat and how you pair it. Because the idea of the low glycemic diet is not to put you on some strict regime of you eating certain foods and making yourself crazy to have to eat these foods that are below 50 on the glycemic index, it's more about just kind of giving you very very generous guidelines and very common sense guidelines into what is a good food and what isn't, what's a good meal and what isn't. So if you think about it, like the low glycemic diet, I personally see it as a way of eating and rather than a strict diet, and I just use my best judgment. Like I will not eat a tub of ice cream as a dessert if I can have, for example, two apples, right? Or three apples. So there's a bit of a balance there that needs to be achieved, but at the same time, it's not a strict way of telling you how to eat things and when to eat them. It's really just about like telling you, don't go crazy on processed foods, don't go crazy on super sugary foods, include more fiber, make sure every one of your meals is very well balanced out between proteins and fats and carbs. Make sure that you take walks if possible after food, after you eat food, and just kind of like don't do too much snacking. If you do snacking, do it in a healthy way. Like, I think that's a lot of great advice in general, and a lot more people can take note. And if you look at a lot of the foods that we went through that you should embrace on a low glycemic diet, a lot of them are great. They're great vegetable. They're all about like eating healthy vegetables, eating good foods, good fruits, eating nice nuts and seeds, and they're all really healthy and they're easy to access. It's nothing like super crazy. And my last two pieces of advice are to again be very smart with snacking. So when it comes to snacking, go for fresh fruit, dried fruit, nuts, and yogurt if you are okay with the dairy or like an egg or something. Avoid refined flour products like cookies, crackers, and biscuits, which we already discussed. And last but not least, more water. Like just ingest more water. It's not like it's a must, but let's face it, it's a good piece of advice for all of us. And it's a great replacement for a lot of sugary drinks you should be avoiding in any case. So that's my kind of overview of the kind of foods that you can eat on a low glycemic diet and the foods that you should be avoiding on a low glycemic diet, as well as some general tips as to how you can make it easy for yourself to do good on a low glycemic diet, as well as how to easily incorporate it into your life. I even go into more depth about how to incorporate it into your life on my other episode in this podcast that is about what a low glycemic diet is and how you can incorporate it in your daily life. So if you're interested in that, make sure to check out that episode. And just, I would honestly say, guys, as a closing note, give it a try because it's not a very difficult diet to follow. I think that keto, for example, while I've heard great things and I'm personally very interested in keto in general, like from a science point of view, I think that keto is actually much more difficult to follow than something like a low glycemic diet because the low glycemic diet is more about just giving you very common sense advice about don't eat the bad foods, focus more on the good foods and incorporate more of them rather than being on a very strict diet regime or really cutting out things that you love, for example, like potatoes. So, everything in moderation, listen to your common sense, and just keep on trying because I think that slowly you can easily dive into a low glycemic diet and it can have such positive effects for you and your acne. And I personally have seen a lot of great results with it. I've seen that whenever I follow a low glycemic diet in a more strict way, I would stop getting breakouts, especially on the top part of my face, meaning like top cheeks and the forehead, as well as actually sometimes on chin and jawline, which are problematic because, for example, if I've eaten something more high carb, of course, it's meat and something that's also involves meat that hasn't been prepared well. It immediately shows up because of also the hormones and the chemicals that are inside that food. They show up on parts like chin and jawline. So be aware of that. And thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you found it educational and or at least inspirational. And I hope that you found some insights that you can directly apply to your daily life and that you can start with a low glycemic diet if you decide to easily now after this episode and that you feel informed enough. If you have any questions about the low glycemic diet or you want to find more resources as to how you can follow it and you can read up on it. Of course, one way is to go to Google, but the other way is to actually reach out to me. I've done so much research on this that I would love to share some resources with you. And by the time you listen to this podcast, there's probably already quite a few articles on my blog, clearmyskin.org, about the topic, where I've included a lot of resources in there as well. If you want to receive more information like that and you want to receive it on a regular basis, make sure to subscribe to my newsletter, and you can do that via my website clearmyskin.org, and you can immediately just drop your email in the newsletter form. You can subscribe to the newsletter there. I hope to have you on this podcast for the next episode, and again, thank you so much for listening. Eat good foods, drink all the water, and make sure to stick to your journey to finding a more natural way of curing your skin.